This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Let's try not to be asinine today, yeah. My friend.
I'm asinine. He's asinine.
Again, appreciation to D&M Auto Lisa for that crosstalk with the fellas. Where I feel like Seth.
Go ahead. You said you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I wanted to. Reggie's always cleaning up my mess.
It's all good.
Sponsor reads.
Trust me.
Best teammate ever.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not.
I'm like some asinine people.
I am absolutely not. But look, we will do our best anyways. That's all we can do. I feel like Seth is hitting on all cylinders. Like at the end of the show, to the point where I'm like. Man, it feels like he needed some more time today. I'm not going to make him do that, but it feels like he's still got some more to go. All right, get involved with the program. As always, 713-572-4610. We appreciate it when you do that. Also, appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live stream, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Hey, man, we were pretty negative talking about the Astros yesterday. They were in a little bit of a bad space, but they finished out. Little road trip with a victory in Milwaukee, a resounding one, 9-1 in fact. And part of that was when they got up to a 3-1 lead early on the game, and we were watching that as the game had started towards the end of our show. You saw Jeremy Pena go yard, a nice 3-run blast in there. And I mean, especially since he's found, or since Jose Altuve had him step into that role of the leadoff as opposed to Altuve leading off. It's been really good for him. Like he has OPS in the 900s in that 10 game stretch. Of course, small sample, but still, it's clear that that's been an uptick on top of what has been a pretty good start for him. Generally, he's been probably at this point the most consistent player for the Astros.
Everyday players, he's the MVP
as of right now.
Right?
I think
Jake Meyer.
We got to give it up for Jake.
Yeah, Jake Meyer second, but I think he's the MVP. And you say. You said it generically, hit the 3-run home run. I actually did not. We were sitting here, you and I were, I think we were transitioning to this side
probably.
Of the table, and I look up and you said, whoa, it went from 3-1 to 6-1 just like that.
Yeah.
Without even looking, I said, Jeremy Pena, 3-run blast?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I said that without even knowing that he did it is because Jeremy Pena was coming up, and Jeremy Pena is the best player on this team, the best everyday player on this team. Shout out to Hunter Brown.
As of right now, right, especially because Jordan has had a little bit of a rough stretch, which it feels like we could probably try and attribute to that hand injury that he is now on the IL for. I mean, we've talked about Altuve. There's been a little bit of a rough stretch here. And I mean, what's up, PC? I do feel like also we did talk about some of the other reasons that might be factoring in as opposed to just like the age of it all, right? The idea of having these other things that he's now adding some of his mental responsibilities towards or what have you. And, of course, sometimes a cold stretch is just a cold stretch during a baseball season. But, I mean, with all that being said, it does feel like Jeremy Pena has been delivering in a way that we've been kind of clamoring for to some degree to see the more of his offense and in a way that they really need from someone, anyone, and hopefully more people. Is that inherently is it a good thing or a bad thing if he remains the best player on this Astros team for an extended period of time?
That's the question. 713-572-4610. Is it good that Jeremy Pena is the best player on this squad? And I think there's a lot of reasons to say that it is good, but there might be some that you might want to consider, that's not so good. But let's go with why I think it's good that Jeremy Pena is the best player on this team. This team is transitioning. I mean, I don't think that's deniable. You know, Bregman's gone. Whew. Boy, Shout out to Alex Bregman. But we won't talk about that right now. I'm sure that's coming. Bregman's gone. Tucker's gone. Fromber, who knows where what his future is. You know, obviously, we know the other players that have left. This Altuve might be aging.
All right, we probably shouldn't lean so much into that. I get what PC was saying. Like, I think he had some good points, right? Yeah. Give Jose Altuve the benefit of the doubt, especially because you've seen it happen time and time again. I get that. Like, man, I'm not. I get where he's coming
like
from.
I felt like we were giving them
we
the benefit.
We were.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Stay tuned for confessions.
Okay. Right. Very good.
And save that audio. All right. So he's the face of the transition. I think Jeremy Peña, you know, he's the guy that went from that squad, MVP, you know, in the ALCS and the World Series, but he was the young buck. He was the rookie. So he's the guy that went through that, and now you got some Zach DiCenzo action happening. You got some Cam Smith action happening. You know, so he's sort of – I think it's good that you are literally transitioning from that generation to the next generation and the guy that has been sort of the, you know, the connecting rod between the two eras is the best player. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, as – very anecdotally evidenced and really not all that pertinent to the baseball of it all, but like you look at the HEB ads and that man is front and center. Like, I think that is one of the very evident ways that you look at that connection. But also, it feels like proof of concept, or at least establishing proof of concept, or more of that, considering this feels like the Jeremy Peña that you got at the end of what was that, the
2022
season into the postseason that ends up being a MVP, right? Like, I think that those are, like, this is the type of player that you knew was in there and that you've been kind of hoping to see more of, and you're seeing it come out in a better way. Like, I think that is, I mean, he's been literally for his career using OPS Plus as just kind of a catch-all, understanding the, you know, the places where that might lack. But just as a catch-all, OPS Plus normalizes at 100, and what do you think his career average or his career OPS Plus is?
What is it?
It is 100. Like, he has been offensively a decidedly average player. This year he's a 120 OPS Plus. Mm-hmm. Like, this was the stuff that you were hoping to see, especially because, you know, defensively, he is a damn good shortstop, right?
Well, that's the other part,
And so, like, seeing the offense come along to some degree, and of course, again, we want to see it happen for a longer period than just about a tenth of the season or what have you.
22%.
Don't
ask me how I know
with
that.
The entirety of this man went and did the math. I'm proud of you. For about a fifth of the season, right? That's good. And I think that is encouraging to see from a guy like Peña as you continue forward. And as you said, for the connective portion of this, like, I'm happy about that, especially because, again, you've seen high level players move out of this organization for, like, time and time again. In fact, like, you've done it with Springer, you've done it with, obviously, I was about to say Springer again, now Bregman, and you saw it with Correa, right? Like, all know the names, and every time you've had someone else be able to step up and more into that role, and it's good to see that continue, because it's starting to feel like you did not have as many candidates to step up into that role, and Jeremy Peña was a prime one. It feels like, at least early on, that he's doing
that. Let me give you another couple of reasons. I think it's a good thing that he's the best player on this team, and then we have to address maybe a couple where it'd be a red flag.
Sure.
He's on a rookie contract. Yeah, I mean, he can help the Astros make decisions in other places. You know, they have control with Jeremy Peña. So some of these other decisions, maybe Fromber, maybe something else, maybe acquisitions, maybe, you know, it plays into other things. You know, the fact that you have a guy like that playing the best baseball of the everyday players and he's in control, that's a good thing. And then the last reason I think it's a good thing.
And I just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah.
Two more years of arbitration. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you avoided arbitration this year, but two more years of control with Peña.
So, and then the last reason is a very here and now reason. Without Jeremy Peña, they might be in a free fall. I mean, they might be in the midst of a free fall without him right now, just because we know what the offense is. We know how they haven't scored a lot more than three runs in the vast majority of their games. They need Jeremy Peña just to kind of stay above water right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just in general, you need anybody who's going to step into that offensive space. And yes, it's good that, I mean, even Jake Meyers has stepped somewhat into that offensive space, and that's been helpful. But yes, Jeremy Peña being able to do that, especially because one of the things tying back to the Altuve conversation that the fellows were having just a second ago and that we jumped in on is you're seeing there's fewer guys to be protection around those kind of tent poles that have been there. And Yordan, who when he's going and who you hope is going here relatively soon, is one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous hitter in baseball. Well, yeah, of course, if there's not protection around him, teams are going to opt to not you know, not see him, not give him the benefit or the opportunity to hurt them. And having more guys, and of course, I don't know how much the protection is going to stand if he's leading off, but like more guys in the lineup that make it difficult on opposition, that's going to be incredibly helpful.
No, go ahead.
But yeah, I think you were going exactly where I was, which I am interested in how you would then look at this as potentially a bad thing.
Not so good. Not so good thing. What's the Astros standard year in, year out right now? It's playoffs and beyond, right?
That's what it has been.
That's what it's been. It's playoffs and beyond. So the potentially not so good thing is if Jeremy Peña is the anchor on this team, that's a problem. Because you still have Yordan. You still have Altuve. You brought in Christian Walker and Isak Paredes, and that does not bode well for living up to the standard. Like Jeremy Peña, this guy is playing his ass off right now, but he shouldn't be the anchor of the entire team, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think he's built for that. Like, and I think I understand what you're saying, that like as of right now, it feels like he's been playing the best. I think that when things normalize, and I will use the word when because I'm going to operate in a hopeful space, he won't be that because Yordan should be the guy that is the most dangerous. He exists in that spot, your three-hole hitter and everything, to have that level of danger. You mentioned a couple other guys who Isak has been solid, but Christian Walker you haven't even gotten. I don't think you've scratched the surface on what you were expecting when you gave him 3 years, $60 million, right? It was the idea for him to be another guy that helps you. And then, of course, Jose Altuve is the ever-present kind of guy that you expect to be some level of danger to opposition. And those guys are going to need to, like, raise the level. And those are the guys that we've looked at that have been like, oh, this feels – there's been slumps here, and they have not been able to produce quite yet. Those are the guys that you hope are playing above or at least around where Jeremy Peña is, where at the very least it's not as clear that he is kind of leading the charge here, that there is a group of guys, especially because you have some instances with some younger guys that you're hoping to protect and give some runway to find themselves at this major league level. And so, yeah, man, those are the guys that need to be there. And right now it feels like Jeremy Peña is kind of trying to hold the line. It is nice that you're holding the line right about 500 at this, with this team right now. But, yes, you're right. Like, this can't be the case for a long period of time. And you can't have Jake Myers be the next guy that you're speaking of in those instances
too.
As well.
That's absolutely true, too. Yeah, there's just too many variables that could go bad if one, or, and if you want to throw Jake Myers in there, two players that aren't expected to be, you know, the fearsome players on in your lineup if they're anchoring everything. And then the other thing is only sort of nominally related. How different would we feel? How different would it look in the standings if you had been able to keep Alex Bregman right now?
Well, I mean,
that's crazy. Yeah, he's killing it.
That feels very evident.
He's killing it right
Although,
now.
Do people feel like he has had a better start because he's not here in Houston? Yeah. Like, is there a feeling that the Houston atmosphere is part of what the kind of slow starts that you had seen from him was? Because I mean, obviously there's no way to prove that negative or what have you. But yeah, man, it feels like, especially with how slowly Christian Walker started, and you could see the frustration that he had. It took a second for Isak Paredes to really get to a place where it felt like you were getting some of what you were expecting from him. We talk about that protection, having those other guys, like being able to give opposing teams difficulty in what they are, how they're going to attack hitters.
Yeah,
that hasn't been there nearly as much. So no, that would actually change this. I think also, one of the things that maybe you could say is a negative about this is, do you feel like this is close to the top end of what you're going to get from Peña as well?
I kind of do, but that's not to criticize.
No. Yeah, and I think I'd be 100% good with
like
this.
A texter just said, you guys are asinine. I get what you're doing there.
Word of the day, baby.
Yordan needs to be the best player on this team. Yeah, I said that. I mean, when Jeremy Peña is the anchor, that's a problem. So it's not a criticism because he's killing it, but it's a problem if he's your guy.
Yeah, and my point ultimately being, like, how much more do you think he could wring out of this, or do you think that, like, we're running largely at high gear here? And I think that's the other thing where you go, yeah, everybody else needs to kick it in there because, again, baseball is a season of ups and downs, and it feels like it's really up for Peña.
Yeah.
I think you get what the next part of that sentence ultimately is.
By default.
Right. And so, yes, you definitely need some more guys to come along. But it has been very, very exciting for me to see Jeremy Peña come on this way with, you know, like a OPS in the high 700s. Like seeing that has been great. It's been a validation of all of the trust that they've put in this kid because you knew the defense was there, but you got that taste in the World Series and in that run, and you were like, man, if that could be the case. And it feels like, man, it's materializing to some degree. And shout out to the Astros, again, getting a 9-1 victory in Milwaukee with the day off today. They'll be back in action tomorrow. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Thursday. Coming up next, I'm going to use this as like a little social experiment, if you don't mind. Like, what's got your attention right now in the world of sports? You know, there's the NHL playoffs, but Houston doesn't have a hockey team. The NBA playoffs, but the Rockets just got knocked out. I mean, we're just about to get rookie minicamp. What is it? Is it something entirely unrelated from sports? 713-572-4610. What has your attention right now? Let's talk about it next. Happy Thursday to you in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. What's got your attention? What have you been keeping up with?
Patrick Creighton.
In this... And you should. Area 45 is a fantastic program.
Okay.
No, it absolutely is. I always enjoy Rolling Wood.
It's funny. Before the show, we seen the audio. I'm like, oh, what they talking about right here? Me and Reggie had no clue. And then we played it. And like, oh, he talking about us.
Talking about us.
No, I realized, I guess, Sean and Seth thought they was talking about them.
Oh,
too.
I think they were playing a game. I think they knew it was us.
Really?
Yeah. No, they were just trying to be, you know, be cognizant, thinking of all the way through.
Me and Reggie like, oh, they talking about us. When you said radios, I'm like,
wait a minute.
I thought you just in general. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I wonder who that's about. absolutely a great show in the nighttime, 7 to 11 right here on Sports Radio 610. And I'm not just saying that. I quite do enjoy whenever I tap in with Bajani and Creighton. You absolutely should do that as well. But yeah, man, is it just you lean very heavily into Area 45 in this time period?
No, why not?
What has your attention? Because it's interesting because in Houston sports, it's kind of sliding into a little bit of a more calmer pattern, a little bit more of a calmer time. But there's things going on, and I do wonder, like, where does your attention go? Because there's a lot of things that are happening. And some of you guys are already weighing in on the text line. Somebody, you know, mentioning basketball. Somebody was asking me about hockey earlier. I don't know. Have you been?
Not really. I'll get in. I'll get in when it's closer to the Stanley Cup. But
they're in the second round.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. This is what's funny about this question and why I like it. You know how you know you're a sports sicko? Because this should be the time when, you know, maybe, you know, whatever. And we do this some, you know, catching up on shows and all that stuff. But you fill the void with other sports. You know, that's where I am. Like, I've watched, you know, much more sports of things that I normally wouldn't plug into. You know.
So you were tapped into the Dynamo getting a 4-1 victory versus Phoenix.
I saw.
Phoenix Rising.
I didn't tap in, but I saw it. But Premier League. Premier League, I'm watching more than I ever have. But here, this is the most.
What that sound mean?
Hey, salute to the Dynamo, man. Hey. Let's go.
But this is why I think that question you just asked is relevant. What an amazing opportunity the NBA has right now. Because,
dude.
I mean, this is, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or anything. Frankly, and you're listening to three guys here in this studio that are big, big, big basketball fans. And I'm not ashamed to say the last 3 or 4 years, I've been like, I'll watch it, I guess, or here and there or whatever. I'm totally plugged in because these NBA finals have been amazing. What, 6 out of 7 first round games so far? There have been like these huge the road team has won.
The first games in the second round. Yeah, it's been a lot of those, including, and I'm ready to hear it. I am ready to hear it. The Celtics did that thing again.
Yeah, they did.
But that, I mean, you've had those comebacks. There's been, and it wasn't all Celtics, and we could talk about that more later, but, I mean, the New York Knicks have been really standing on the table. Like, the East is standing up because you got the Pacers over there with Tyrese Halliburton, who, I don't know if you knew this, but this season, he is 10 of 11 in, like, shots to tie or go up in the last 2 minutes of games. Like, he has just been a clutch maniac in a way where people have talked about him as being overrated. I think that there was like a player poll where he was voted the most overrated player or something like that. This has been a fascinating NBA playoffs this year.
But that's an opportunity, man.
And I do wonder, though, if like Houston sports fans are just like, man,
are you?
the energy that you had for the Rockets and, you know, the way that ends and, like, obviously all the conversations about what this team is going to look like. Does that take it out of you where you're just like, man, I don't want to watch basketball? Or did you lean all the way in?
Look, I think they're facing an amazing opportunity right now to kind of recapture some of that postseason magic. And we've all heard about ratings and too many threes and all this other stuff. What they're doing right now as a league is a crazy. I don't know if you knew this. But before this season, there had never been a 60-win team in the NBA playoffs go down 2-0. This year, there's 2.
Yeah. That's how I know. I'm like, oh, it's real. This is borderline March Madness type stuff. Yes.
And that's what people have said that they want is parity. I don't necessarily always agree with that thought process that people actually want parity. Like, we'll say it, and then we kind of want our dominant teams. We want that level of exerting your talent over the other teams. But here you go. Like, there's a level of parity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw the team come in the West, the Thunder. That, you know, far and away the best record in the NBA this year, lose their first game in dramatic fashion at the end of the game, and then come back around and really lay it down in game two. So there's that in the NBA, but also over here in the NHL, I mean, they are doing fascinating stuff. Shout out to both games yesterday that were one goal differences.
The Maple Leafs.
And the Maple Leafs got a victory.
That kind of came out of nowhere. I was actually in a bar, and that game was on, and the Celtics game was on, and all of a sudden I heard, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, my first thought, somebody fighting? And I looked over, and they was watching again. I guess somebody hit a goal in the last minute. So I'm like, damn.
Yeah, that was a few days ago. Wait,
no, that was yesterday.
Okay, I might be mixing them up. But there was one of those games where there was a goal scored. I mean, both of those won in the third period. So, again, you have these competitive games. And then Mikko Rantanen, we talked about him in Winners and Losers of the Weekend because – he had a hat trick to help the Stars come back and get their victory. And then he did it again, except he did what they call a natural hat trick. Are you familiar with this?
The natural hat trick.
Which is you score a hat trick, but you score 3 goals in a row. It's just you. Nobody else is scoring.
Oh, okay.
And he did that in order to get a victory yesterday. I think he's scored or assisted on their last 12 goals. Like, you just have dominance happening over there. And then on top of that, one of the things that could have your attention is, are you tapped in with the Astros? Because, like, you're in a different place than you have been recently. Like, the Astros are not the same dominant team. And I know even last year where you started slow, there was still an expectation coming in.
Yeah.
Like, now you have that season on the ledger in this one, and they have started a little bit slower than you would anticipate. Like, how tied in are you with that? Because I was just looking. I think Sam Warren posted this from the Houston Chronicle. And attendance is down for the Astros early on in the season.
Well, and that's interesting because our habit in my house, you know, my wife loves the Astros. She really does. And so we watch at least parts of every game. Like, it's just part of our routine. You know, let's see what the Astros are doing, or let's watch the Astros game. And then we see how much of it we stick with, depending on how the game is going. But the interesting thing is, I mentioned this to her yesterday because, you know, obviously we love the Astros, but there is more intrigue with the Astros this year. It's not an expectant thing with the Astros. Let's see who does. Let's see who creates the magic today. It's like almost like hate watching, but not hating. It's like oh, how are they gonna screw this up, or how bad is the offense gonna look this time? And I think a lot of fans do that. You start hate watching the team you love. You know, it's like or at least skeptically watch the team you love.
Are you hate watching any other teams? Because I think that some people have been tapped in and keeping up with the former Astros. And one of the ones that you can absolutely hate watch, if you want to say that, have you seen how Ryan Pressly has fared?
Not well.
Not well at all. In fact, earlier this week, Ryan Pressly, this is per Opta Stats, Ryan Pressly, the only MLB reliever to allow 8+ earned runs in a game, not getting out, and take the loss, which was a single, since earned runs became a official stat in both leagues in 1913.
Oh, wow.
Like, Ryan Pressly has had,
on the wrong side of history.
If you allow me to throw out another stat, that was in that game that he just absolutely blew up coming out of the pen. But, another stat I could throw up there, Stuff Plus is a stat that's
Hold
out there.
Hold on, you're making another one up.
I am not making
He's making
up.
Another
what?
One up.
What in the world is this?
Just know.
That sounds like a pizza hut. Let me get the Stuff Plus.
I would get the Stuff Plus. The Stuff Plus sound good. What you mean? I feel like they put extra mozzarella
in
there.
I know that one's not real.
That is 100% real.
It's on the menu at Pizza Hut.
Without having to give you too much, right?
Stuff Plus.
That is right. With that being the case, he is the second worst pitcher in Stuff Plus this season.
Whatever that is.
It's a pizza. That's what that is.
Like it is. It has been really bad for Ryan Presley
over there. Since 1913?
That's right. He's the only pitcher to give up 8 earned runs and not getting out and catch a loss.
Last pitcher to do that.
That's hard to
after do. After the game, they asked him, hey, do you think there'll ever be a world war? This was before World War One,
and just think about all the bad pitchers we seen.
Oh my God!
And all the position players that pitched, yeah. They got outs.
Oh my God, they got outs.
And so yeah, I'm just super intrigued as to where people are from the 281. They said during these quote unquote softer sports times in Houston, pay more attention to auto and motorcycle racing. Okay,
I could see that.
That's okay,
because I know F1 is going pretty hot right now with the, you know, and the portion that I would think about in F1, not saying it's the most important, it's just Lewis Hamilton switching teams over to Ferrari and the radio. I know I've seen a lot of the radio between those guys and how he's just downright frustrated with a new team from the 6-3-1. Playoff hockey is always fun to watch, and it has been that to a great degree. Someone else said, guess it's baseball, which, I mean, mm-hmm. Fair enough. It is there for you, and the Astros finding a way to at least be interesting, if not frustrating at times. And one of those things is just, why are they not scoring in the first inning, John? Like, they are just so bad at scoring runs
so
in the first.
So bad.
Thankfully, when they do, they can get a victory like they did mm-hmm. yesterday, because they got, what was it, 3 early on in that game?
Yep, and actually without a hit. Two of them without a hit.
That's right. The first two without a hit. Mm-hmm. But yes, that could be a little frustrating. But yeah, I'm very interested in seeing. And somebody was just like, you know what? I'm just catching up on my shows, which I understand and I appreciate.
That's the best time to do it.
Yeah, we've been doing some of that. All right, Figgy, just real quick here. I looked up Stuff Plus.
Yes, it's a thing.
It's a metric developed by Eno Saris, a guy named Eno Saris. What do you think he looks and sounds like, old Eno?
He probably sounds like this.
Y'all being real jerks right now.
It's a metric that evaluates.
Man, you got to admit, what the hell is Stuff Plus, man?
I'll tell you exactly what it is, according to the Google machine. It's a metric that evaluates the quality of a pitch based on its movement, velocity, spin, and release point.
Did y'all want to hear all that, or did you just want me to tell you that there is a metric out there where Ryan Presley looked really, real bad right now?
That's better.
Did you get the point? That was what I was trying to get to. Y'all are the ones who brought this, the Pizza Hut and all this in there. That's on you.
Eno Saris.
I was just trying to point out that he has had a real problem.
Figgy, during the break, Google image search Eno Saris.
Oh, okay.
He looks exactly like you think he would.
Oh, from the 281, tapping into rugby. Hey, man, the Houston Sabercats is a fun time. Mm-hmm. Like, that is actually a great place to go and a great way to go about this, tapping in with them. And I imagine if you're tapped in with the Sabercats, you probably tapped in with a lot of rugby. Mm-hmm. So shout out to you. But yeah, let us know. What are the things that you got going? All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Actually, this is another time because we're getting into our question of the day. Again, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. What's the most embarrassing thing that you've ever done in public? Because speaking of the NBA games, Mitchell Robinson did one of those things that really get you clowned when you're a basketball player, which is an air ball. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. All right, let's get into our question of the day here in the loop. What is the most embarrassing thing that you have done in public? You got to be in sight of other people. 713-572-4610. Inspired by athletes, specifically one athlete. His name is Mitchell Robinson. He plays for the New York Knicks. He was playing yesterday versus the Celtics when they got their victory over the Celtics to push it to 2-0 in favor of the underdog Knicks in that series. Although, which is weird, like the betting, I heard this yesterday or earlier today. The betting on this is weird because the Celtics are the betting odds favored to win the East, but the Knicks are the betting odds favored to win that series.
Explain that to me.
I can't. I imagine that has to do with some level of push and pull on the bets coming in or the money coming in.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what to do there, but. Yeah, man, that's been a weird one. So what's the most embarrassing thing that you've done or that you've seen live and in person and in public? And so, yeah, I bring you back to Mitchell Robinson doing the thing that'll really get you clowned in basketball, which is a free throw, missing a free throw, which, of course, Rockets fans feel they know very well.
Not just missing.
Right. But, yes, not only did he miss a free throw, again, an unguarded 15-foot shot. This is Mitchell Robinson airballing in the fourth quarter of that game.
With Boston on top as the...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Holy smoke.
Now, you know why you wrap him up early? Whoa.
By the way, what he said there, Reggie Miller talking about they wrap him up early, they were going to the hack strategy because Mitchell Robinson was that good defensively, which I kind of love what Thibodeau did, where he's just like, we're riding this out. In the same way that I thought that Ime Udoka probably should have rode out with Steven Adams, where it's like, all right, if we miss some of these, it's cool, but the benefit of having him on the floor matters too much.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's real embarrassing when you take a 15-foot free throw and you probably get it about 13 feet.
Yeah, well, I mean, later on, Reggie was talking about that might be the most embarrassing free throw in NBA history.
No, it looked bad. Like, we've seen people airball a free throw before.
He missed it by 6 inches.
It was like somebody blocked it from the back. Yeah. It just went straight down like...
All yeah, right. That's a crazy thing, because obviously with the free throw, if you understand just kind of, I'm going to sound like a dork, I'm sorry, parabolic motion, mm-hmm. right? You need to get above the rim before it comes back down and gets in the rim, right? I think we understand that generally. I don't know how much that cleared the rim at its apex,
shot. No, I agree.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I don't think it
hit the bottom of the rim.
All right, so you're in public now.
That's right.
This is the thing where people are watching, and people like Reggie Miller would say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Most embarrassing thing you've ever done in public. Two immediately came to mind for me. So I was playing putt-putt with my family on. It was like a Friday, Saturday night, so it was packed. Like, just putt-putt, you know, easy game.
Top three, like, you know, nice family-friendly activity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that bowling,
putt-putt.
You know, stuff like that.
I feel like those are the elite ones.
Yeah, and so putt-putt, mind you. And I putted the ball, and I kind of stepped back. And it was one of those where your arms start waving because my heel caught.
Oh, you went cartoon.
And I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I fell lengthwise in a 4-inch deep water hazard.
Oh, man.
It's like I could have walked through that water hazard and my ankles wouldn't have gotten deep. But my whole body fell on it. So I was drenched head to toe. And it was one of those, like I could see it happening, where everybody pauses for like a half second trying not to laugh, and then they just all bust out laughing.
That's right.
They're like,
They had to make sure you were okay, because something I believe very strongly, falling is funny. So we got to make sure you're all right. If you're all right, if you're hurt, then it's not funny, right? Nobody wants to see somebody get hurt.
The water was this deep.
But once you're healthy.
4 inches deep, and I got, somehow my entire body was soaked.
Well. That's tough. How many more holes did you play?
I think I finished playing.
You finished playing? Okay.
I think I did.
Just soaking wet.
Oh, I remember I did finish playing because I took my shoes and socks off. I played barefoot.
Oh, God. So now you exposed everybody to your misfortune. Okay, very good.
Speaking of exposing, that's the other one.
I don't like the way you say it. I refuse. Not the way you set that up.
Speaking of exposing.
So unbelievable. Figgy's going to give me a hard time about this because I always talk about all the places I've been able to travel. But I was in Nagano, Japan, okay?
Okay.
And I was covering the Winter Olympics. And this is a boutique, family-owned, like, motel. It had, like, 8 or 10 rooms, okay? So I put something, I don't know if it was food or whatever, I put something in the hallway, and I don't have a shirt on, just gym shorts and nothing else. And then I hear the door close behind me. And
you ain't got your key?
I didn't have my key.
Oh, man.
And so keep in mind, this is Winter Olympics. It's the winter.
It's cold out.
It's cold out.
Excellent.
There's only one way to get back into that room. That's to walk down a flight of stairs, go see the nice Japanese couple that runs the hotel, and try to explain to them that I'm not in the room, that I got locked out of my room. Of course, they don't know English. I don't know Japanese. And somehow we got it. And they're walking up, and you could just hear them snickering behind me.
That's right. And that's what you deserve. That's what you've earned. That's why you got to make sure you have your key. The one for me is actually sports related, which I started thinking, what are the sports related ones? Because obviously Mitchell Robinson had that. Mm-hmm. And I know what Titus Howard's would be. You remember this season where he decided to play a little defense when he was playing offense and took that ball out of CJ's hands? Yeah. I was like, that would be his. Mine, sports related. So you guys know I am a proud Nigerian of Nigerian descent, right? And so I, in middle school, you know, played football.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing about high school or middle school sports is that, hey, man, we need you to play everything, friend. Like, we want you to be a well-rounded athlete. So, like, either you're going to play basketball or you're going to run this track. And I was not on the basketball team, so I had to run track. And they saw me, and they're like, oh, you African, right? You running long distance, brother. So, and another thing about middle school track, there's not really very much training. They just get you out here and let you run.
Start running. Yeah.
And so the very first time I ran, I think it was the mile. Actually, it might have been the 2400, I think, because I don't think we ran the 32.
Yeah.
But it was like a long race, real long race. I was so slow. Like, I was so I didn't know how to because pacing yourself and knowing what the right pace is so important, right? Yeah. I mean, I got lapped. There was people in the stands, like legitimately when I got to my final lap and I started kicking,
yeah.
They were like, it's too late for that. You waited too long. Man. I mean, people yelling in the stands and I was like, oh no. Well, that I'm not running that race anymore.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah, mine is pretty embarrassing too. So I was working, y'all know I started as a street teamer before I got here. And this was in Cleveland. We used to do different events like movie premieres and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all gonna laugh as soon as I say this. But it was a movie premiere for the new Anchorman movie.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And so it was a movie theater full of people. And we did like a little giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the front. And you know, sometimes you got to hype up the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you ready to see Anchorman? Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
So this was my first time doing it. I usually don't do it, but the person that does wasn't there. So I'm like, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, who ready to see Anchorman? And then this is the part that was embarrassing. I said, who ready to see Ron Jeremy?
Oh no!
I was thinking about Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So everybody in the crowd was like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh, really? It's and one I of those Anchorman.
I thought about it. I'm like, oh. I put my head down. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh man, got the adult version of the movie. Okay, very
yeah.
good.
Ron, I'm like, who ready to see Ron Jeremy? And
they're like, oh, wait, hold on. They're like, excuse me.
There are kids
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I was hearing snickering and all that too. I'm like, what's. And I'm like, oh man, I'm like, this is the biggest mistake I ever made publicly like this.
Some more that have come in here on the text line from the 409. They said they were drunk on Bourbon Street with buddies, walked out of a bar and literally slipped on a banana peel, spilled their Big Boot beer, and all over themselves. That's Chuck.
Said, man, what you playing, Mario Kart?
It only happened in cartoons, but apparently not. Yeah, me too.
My man's playing Mario Kart.
Also, that had to be a setup. Who was out here on Bourbon eating a banana?
And just threw it out.
Yeah.
What kind of Acme stuff is happening there? 281, obviously, if we're talking the sports areas of this, butt fumble.
Butt fumble's a good one.
Butt fumble's up there.
I was thinking Orlovsky when he ran out of the back of the end zone. Yeah. The best part of that by far is like he was like, let's make a play. I mean,
he was focused.
He was out of bounds, had his head up. Like, why is everybody laughing? You're a yard and a half out of bounds.
The play over, buddy. Play
kindred spirits here for you, Lopez, on the text line 281. They were in Jamaica with their family in a mall as a kid, wasn't paying attention, fell into a fountain. They hate all malls to this day.
Dude, my family still to this day talks about that.
Why wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they? Absolutely. Somebody said, well, how about when you really have to go in the middle of nowhere, you have to squat with your back against the tree and your friends spotlight you with the carbine. Oh, no. Because that's not one you can pick up real quick. Yeah. You can't just wrap this
you
up.
You can't say, oh. You got to finish.
We got to finish. Yeah.
You got to see it out.
Once you commit, you're committed.
And along that same line, somebody said that they were out urinating, and there was a couple that saw him, and I imagine that was uncomfortable. But yes, I appreciate this from the 346, because this always gets you. They said when they were 45 playing a pickup game against these young boys, 20-somethings, they were like, ah, man, and went up to try and dunk, got hung.
Did not
make the clearance.
That's kind of a humble brag, too, though.
No, absolutely. Yeah, but the thing about it is you were out here trying to stunt. You didn't have to do that. You could a nice mid-range jumper would have sufficed.
Getting
like,
hung,
I got it.
Getting hung ain't cute.
Yeah,
unless you like in middle school or something like that.
Right, and you're trying to get up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I do appreciate this one as well, who said they saw people assaulting light poles at Rodeo Cook-Off. And that's got to be really embarrassing for them, because I'm like, hey, man, everybody out here. Like, all of Houston is out here. You have some cooth.
It's also called drunk.
That's fair. That's also fair. Like, what is the level of embarrassment multiplier or what have you when it comes to you being drunk? Like, do you have to do more crazy things?
You don't
get
as embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, not in the moment, at least not.
Yeah.
Now it's more embarrassing when somebody goes, you know what you did yesterday, and you have no idea what you did.
Yeah, that's the embarrassing part. Yeah. Where you like, did I do that?
Let me tell you,
you did more than that.
Bathing suit falls off at Schlitterbahn.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Oh, dear. Somebody said the 409 guy got a drive-by by Donkey Kong. All right. Keep those coming in. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including Who are the people that Tom Brady hated getting hit by the most? We'll do that next.